Hi, everyone. Welcome to a special edition of the Everything Else show. This show almost didn't happen. Nature attacked and the power went out. I'm in a hotel room. So I really wanted to make this happen. I think it's very important. Our guest today is Konstantin Samarlov, and he is taking a chance, but I want to let you know that you have to be careful in chat, and please also be careful with any comments. We can't blame the Russian people for what is going on. Back around the day, I think it was the day after Christmas in 1991, there was a very bitter KGB agent, Putin, who I think now is acting out on that bitterness. There's a lot of things I can say that's my opinion, but please know this, that our guest cannot. We're going to talk about a new law that passed yesterday that could give him 15 years prison time for basically telling the truth. News sources I found out. I've been to Russia four times with a former girlfriend. And news sources are really tricky in Russia. They are... it's basically, I'm going to say it, a lot of propaganda. And if someone like our guest came out with real news sources, he could get 15 years in prison for coming out with that if he makes it public. I don't know the exact details. I will ask him about this. So I feel like I'm brokenhearted, like so many of us are. He calls them brothers and sisters in the Ukraine. And that's how most Russians feel. I've been watching some clips. There are several out there where people have absolutely no idea what's going on. Many people say that their president would never invade Ukraine. They're saying this still. I think we're about 10 or 11 days in, maybe 12 days, I'm not sure. But whatever it is, it's an atrocity, if you ask me, with things that are happening and for what reason. And I am hoping that one person will pay, but it looks right now that many, many people will. I really think that what is going on is going to affect all of us in the free world. And who knows what the future is going to be. There's something new happening here. And I'm really happy that our guest has the courage to talk today about what he sees on the inside. And we're going to lay down, or he's going to lay down, kind of the ground rules about one of the things that he can freely talk about. And again, you will hear him say, read between the lines. And that's what he has to do. And I want him to be totally safe on this. After being in Russia four times, one time for 2 months straight, I can tell you there are some really, really good, warm people there. I do blame this on one person. That might be just my opinion. And I'm sure our guest is going to keep those type of opinions to himself. And here we go. Welcome back to the show, Konstantin. I wish it wasn't this type of situation where I welcome you back.
Hello, Martin, and hello, everyone. Martin, me too. I'm really sorry that I'm coming back to your show under these circumstances, and it's just heartbreaking. I would like to thank everyone for joining. First of all, I'd like to thank you for, you know, producing the show. I know that's not your main thing, to talk about political issues far away in Russia, but circumstances are very, very, very pressing and strange. So thank you for hosting me, and thank you everyone for joining. I'm going to give you some insight of what's going on in my country, and certainly Russia is not well. Like Martin said, please be patient, read between the lines, and do not put me in danger, because I am in danger as it is. Like, I do live streams on my channel every single day, and I'm definitely being watched. So I think twice before I say things, and I have brought in two moderators for this channel, Lorna and Mommy K. Fantastic ladies. They moderate my channel. They know what to do. Please do not get upset if your message, although you find it normal, gets deleted. Seems like I'm having a few troubles with my connection, internet connection. Let me to another line. Just give me 1 second.
Sure. And one of the things, while you're doing that, one of the things I would like to say, hopefully we haven't lost you. I was talking with chatting through a text with a friend who's watching now, I'm sure, and saying, we have to be careful of our news sources. News sources, and I mentioned the propaganda in Russia, controlled media, basically. But we all have to be careful anywhere around the world. I hate to point a finger at one specific, but I totally feel that if I want real news and I want real factual news, I'm not going to go to a cable station that's leaning left or right. I want the facts. That's what we all want. And there's down in the notes on this YouTube video, there's Media Bias Fact Check, and they are totally independent and they check all media. So if you go to that site and you put in your, what you pay attention to, it's going to tell you the way it is. Reuters news for me, it's the most factual that I can find and unbiased left or right. We can all get in trouble by our news sources because we rely on them. And if we're not being told the straight dope, we can get in trouble. You see enough of that in this country today. And along those lines, I'm not picking on any one news site, but I just, I encourage you to check out your news sources for yourself. And I don't want to make this a political show in any type of way either. I hope it's not taken that way. This is a show about a crisis and how people inside of Russia are dealing with it and what they know or don't know. I don't know if you can address totally what you know and don't know, Constantine, but am I pretty accurate with what I'm talking about with your news sources there? Are they pretty much controlled?
I cannot talk about it safely, but please note that recently, let me give you the, overview of this situation that's been going on for the past couple of weeks here in Russia. We all woke up on 24th of February to this unbelievably sad, terrible news that Russian military was bombing Ukrainian land, and I couldn't believe it at first. And then I saw Vladimir Putin speaking to us, giving us address. He said that he very much was forced to order this special military operation, and Russian troops are not touching civilians in Ukraine, but rather bombing military facilities to kind of behead Russian Ukrainian army. So Ukrainian planes could not fly, things like that. And terrible. A lot of Russians started raising their heads immediately and making posts in social media. Facebook is the biggest here. And they were saying, hey, you know what? We disagree. We didn't sign up for this. No, not in our country. And the government really got upset with that. And they said, well, if you have a different opinion from what we are giving you, then you will get in trouble. And they came up with this incredible law. It's an old law about spreading fakes about coronavirus, but now they amended it in 2 days. And they added a few articles that make, the article saying basically that if anyone spreading fakes about military, Russian military, that a person can get anyhow from 3 to 15 years in prison. Okay, it depends on what kind of a crime he or she commits, you know, what kind of information the person spreads and stuff like that. And if the person spreads fakes or disinformation about Russian army or welcomes Western sanctions, okay? If I say, well, that's good for Russia, you know, that it's getting hit by sanctions, for example, you know, I may be prosecuted for that. So since they came out and they clearly said that there is no other true source of information other than official Russian government information, that Ministry of Defense press releases that it produces every day, Russian official media, and you know, a few newspapers, and they closed all other media sources, including Facebook. They blocked Facebook here. They closed a few radio stations. Well, the radio stations actually shut down themselves. They said, we're not, you know, we're afraid, because if we say something that goes against party line, then our reporters will be jailed. Okay. So basically there's nothing left except for, you know, official party line information. But that's, of course, is true. Please read between the line. You know, I cannot disagree with that. I cannot disagree to say that our government produces truthful information only. Please read between the line. I hope I answered your question.
I also want to say that when these things are happening, or that we're talking about, you and I talked a little bit offline, and I mentioned the bombing of an airport. You know, I know you can't really talk about that, but does the average Russian citizen out there right now, are things geo-blocked? In other words, are there news sources that are geo-blocked, or can the average Russian person jump online? I mean, this is where it's different than years ago, where we can get information so easily. Can someone jump online and look at someone else's news source? What's the geo-blocking? What's happening there?
I missed a few.
So you're having a little bit of a bad connection there.
Listen, could you repeat that, please? I missed due to poor connection. Yep. Internet, there's something, guys, I want you to know that something is going on with the Russian internet here, because we're getting very, yes, I know, we're getting very unstable connections. Sometimes it cuts off and stuff like that. Basically, could you repeat your question about can we get access to other sources other than party line source?
Yes, can you get information worldwide, or are you geo-blocked, what they call geo-blocking?
Some media sources have been geo-blocked here, but there are a lot of ways how to avoid blocking, go around it, you know, and a lot of Russians are aware of that. And I cannot talk about myself. I don't know. You know, I'm just getting my information from the party line, if you know what I mean. Please read between the lines. And for others, for other Russians, who knows? But, you know, I have a pretty good idea that a lot of them get access to different kind of information. And it's pretty bad here. Facebook is blocked. All Russian somewhat independent media is blocked, you know. Just crazy.
And what about the people that normally speak out? What is the situation there as far as, I know that there was something like 1,000 people arrested in Moscow. I believe it was day two when this happened. Is that what's going on there as far as people protesting that you're aware of?
Russia has a lot of angry people. Okay. And I would like to ask you, please, all people who are watching this stream right now, please do not give up on Russian people. Do not give up on us, okay? Because, you know, we are, well, I'm talking about like a lot of Russians. A lot of Russians disagree, and a lot of Russians trying to make themselves heard. Today, just today, over 3,500 people, according to official information from Russian Police Force Department, Ministry of Internal Affairs, over 3,500 people were arrested in Moscow, in St. Petersburg, and in other cities and towns in Russia. Okay, those people made a conscious decision to get up and go to central squares or central locations in their cities and make themselves heard. Hope I'm answering your question right now.
Yes. One thing that occurred to me is, if, generally speaking, the government is saying, you know, it's not against Ukraine personally or whatever, you know, there's over a million refugees trying to flee right now. And if that's the case, if the government is basically saying, you know, along what you said, these are our brothers and sisters or whatever, why wouldn't they offer them refuge?
Martin, they are definitely saying that. They're saying this special military operation is aimed not at regular Russian folks. And Vladimir Putin came out, and he came out a few times over this past 2 weeks, and he made a few addresses. And one of the addresses was, the Ukrainian and Russian folks are the same. Same culture, same language, you know, we're the same. So he keeps on, and everyone keeps on repeating this. It's not aimed at Ukrainian people, regular people, but at Nazis, and you know, to demilitarize, to take the weapons. They're not saying like details. They're saying denazification, demilitarization of Ukraine. They don't tell us who they consider Nazi. How are they gonna denazificate? Are they going to catch Nazis? Is it going to be a trial? Are they going to be court-martialed or anything like that? We don't know, okay? What's demilitarization? Are they going to take what? Destroy Ukrainian tanks? Are they going to take all the guns, handguns in Ukraine, going to confiscate? They're not telling us that, okay? But they definitely are telling us that it's aimed at, not aimed at regular Ukrainians. And that's pretty much what they're saying. I have not heard any information about 1 million people fleeing Ukraine to different countries. Well, I didn't hear it from the Russian government, the official source from the party line, you know. And if we were speaking in the Russian, on the Russian radio or in the Russian TV stations, we would be committing a crime right now because, you know, well, kind of, because you're asking me a question. But if I would say so, but I would be committing a crime. Party line did not say anything about Ukrainians leaving for, you know, to Europe, fleeing Europe, becoming refugees. Therefore, it's fake. And spreading fakes is a punishable offense, up to 15 years in prison. You know, this is how bad it's happening in Russia right now. This is the mad circus.
Yes. I'm not going to argue, Sean, what you're saying about BBC, but if you look in their facts are really strong. Maybe they are a tiny bit to the left, but they're not strong to the left. And I'm not going to get into any of this in the chat or any of that. Just quick comment on that. But how would you feel, or let me put this a different way. I'm sorry. It's hard for me to ask these questions because I feel like I have so many things to ask and I'm trying to be careful at the same time. As far as civilians, the loss of civilians, is that even being mentioned at all on what you're hearing, or is that another thing that's being kept very quiet?
It's a topic that's being avoided. You know, you cannot admit, well, you cannot disprove the fact that regular people, the civilians, they get wounded, they get killed, shot, you know, it's impossible. This is day number 10 of this special military operation going on. Okay. Russian government officially told us that in the first week, over 1,000 military facilities in Ukraine have been were destroyed. Okay, were targeted and destroyed. 1,000 facilities. That's airports, military airports, military warehouses, you know, military bases. Okay, let's imagine that every single facility, small or large, had at least one person at that facility. Okay, not destroyed. Then that's over 1,000 people killed, right? That's just, let's imagine. And imagine, there must have been bystanders. There must have been civilians in the bases, civilians, contractors, civilian workers. I mean, there are no unmanned facilities in any country in the world, right? So there must be fatalities, casualties, you know. But it's not being said. The only, so far, the only number that I was given by the official party information was 498 soldiers, Russian soldiers, were killed in first 7 days, and some soldiers were wounded. I quickly did the math, okay? Soviet forces in Afghanistan were present there for 500 weeks, okay? 10 years, a little under 10 years. They were 9,000 people killed in action and 4,000 people, you know, killed someplace else. All together, 14,000 people were killed. In Ukraine, in the first week, 498 people, almost 500. Think about this, okay? And I'm not the only one who does the math. You know, a lot of Russians actually have brains, and they can put two and two together, you know? No, not talking about civilians, not talking about Russians who are wounded, Russians wounded soldiers, just this one number, 498 soldiers died in the first 7 days, and that's pretty horrendous number, okay? And I can only imagine how many people. I can tell you that I have, I see other sources as well. I just can't talk about them. Okay. And they're probably fakes. What do we know? You know, read between the lines. Yeah. Certainly not going to spread any fakes here.
So the conscript, the young draftee, I have seen stories with them coming into Ukraine thinking that they're going to be welcomed. These are inexperienced, young, you know, basically young in a way. They're still children at 18 and 18 to 21, whatever they are. Their age is very young, and they're coming in unexperienced, and some of them losing their lives. And it's, you know, I know you probably can't really comment too much on that, but I can comment.
Yeah. What I can tell you is that we have official information that came straight from Vladimir Putin. He said he assured he was visiting one of the, not sure, the charities or some kind of company, large company, and he was meeting women there just a couple days ago. And he assured them, and it was televised, that no draftees, no soldiers who were conscripted into army are taking part in this military operation. Only people who signed contract with Russian military, okay? And he promised publicly, they said that there will be no, first of all, no draftees going into this, further into this special military operation, nor there will be any reserve soldiers, reservists, okay? He said it publicly, so... No. Again, what do we know? Time will tell.
Right. And like, I don't believe him, but that's me. That's not you. Here is a comment here. Thousands of Russians are fleeing to Finland as we speak. I don't know anything about that. That's just a comment from one of the chat. And I don't know if you heard anything about that either. But
Finland is not too far from St. Petersburg. It's a couple hour drive or perhaps even less than that. An hour drive. I would imagine that if people would want to flee Russia, that would be the easiest and shortest way to flee, is to cross the border to Finland. but I have not heard any information anywhere, unofficial, official sources anywhere. You know what? Just this is my opinion. I think a lot of Russians are afraid, and a lot of Russians are fleeing anyhow they want, any way they can find. You know, I know tons of Russians flying to Georgia. That's the only country we can fly to. A lot of people trying to, you know, pretend they're taking vacations, go to Maldives, you know, down south. Once they land, they go to other countries and claim for asylum or things like that. But a lot of Russians are trying to get out because they disagree. And, well, we still have this right to leave the country. For how long? I don't know, but there's still the right, you know.
Yes. Well, I understand that a lot of international airline flights are being grounded, and also that a lot of companies are pulling the leases and seizing air, you know, jets that belong to a lot of the Russian airlines. So this is going to affect, I know it's really going to, you know, the sad thing about it, you know, eventually it's going to affect the man himself, because they're already affecting the people that are close to him. You know, yachts are getting seized. Places in Italy are getting seized from the oligarchs that are close to him. And eventually, you know, I mean, look what happened. All I can say is something happened back in 1917, and it was the people, you know, the people that are going to not put up with it. And I'm certainly hoping that enough people are going to know what's really happening. Again, this is all my opinion.
Well, I can tell you that there are two huge problems. First problem is the military operation that's being conducted in Ukraine right now. And it's being conducted, and it means that there's fighting. There are rockets flying. They're showing us on Russian TV explosions, you know, gunfights and everything. You know, they're telling us that Ukrainian forces led by Nazis, you know, nationalists, they are defending themselves. Okay, so there is fighting, there is blood, and people die every day. Okay, and Russian military, so Russian soldiers die, Ukrainian soldiers die, and civilians caught in the middle, they also die. Okay, we cannot deny that. That's, you know, there's not much we can do about it. Not talking about it, you know what I mean? That's one part, military operation. The second part is Russia is getting hit very hard by economic sanctions. I have not seen anything like this before in my life, and I think it's going to, if not to destroy Russia, but to bring it on the knees in dirt, okay? Because it's really hard for you guys to understand the magnificent, the depth of this economic sanctions that are being placed on Russia. So every action in the world has a reaction. That's the reaction. Let me just let you know what companies have left Russia. Okay, that's besides the official sanctions from U.S. Treasury Department and things like that. Companies that produce products, okay, that they left, they decided to stop, either left or stopped working in Russia. ASOS, Apple, Burberry, Carlsberg, Dell, Diego, Fartech, Hermes, Hewlett-Packard, HP, H&M, iHerb, IKEA, Jisk, Lego, Mango, Marks & Spencer, My Theresa, Nike, Pernod Ricard, Pelzensky, Prazdroy, Staropramen, Boudoir, Swarovski, Yuks, companies that work in the entertainment industry, BBC One, Keynes Festival, Electronic Arts, Megogo, Netflix, Paramount, Sony, Spotify, Warner Brothers, Walt Disney Company, service companies that decided to leave Russia, Airbnb, Ableton, Autodesk, Jubal, Nintendo, eShop, Paysera, PlayStation, Steam, Sony, Storytel, car and plane manufacturers, Airbus, BMW, Boeing, Ford, General Motors, Harley-Davidson, Honda, Hyundai, Jaguar, Land Rover, Mazda, Mercedes-Benz, Porsche, Renault, Rolls-Royce, Scania, Toyota, Volkswagen, Volvo cars, payment systems, Visa, MasterCard, American Express, Apple Pay, Google Pay, PayPal, Revolut, Samsung Pay, Swift, Western Union, sports organizations that have left or banned Russia, Basketball EuroLeague, World Federation of Curling, World Federation of Basketball, World Federation Association of Boxing, International Federation of Volleyball, International Federation of Ice Hockey, NHL, Adidas, FIFA, UEFA, Formula One, technological companies that they have left, Cisco, Intel, Ericsson, Microsoft, Nokia, Panasonic, OneWeb, Oracle, SAP, Siemens, services, again, financial services, Accenture, BCG, GMA, DHL, EPAM Systems, FedEx, McKinsey, Mediterranean Shipping Company, Maersk, UPS, industrial companies, BASF, Henkel. Look, and this is just, that's not all the list, okay? It tells you that so many companies have decided to stop working in Russia and leave. It's, we don't know what's going to happen next. Literally, I am afraid to wake up and go to work every single day because I am afraid that our industry is going to implode very quickly, and it has been imploding. I am in the field of constructing power generating energy facilities, okay, and we don't have customers anymore. We have ongoing contracts, but our customers have stopped. They're saying we don't know what to do next. We don't know whether we're going to have money. We don't know whether we're going to have our money in the banks, and basically no one knows what's going on. Everyone is in panic, in shock, okay? So Russian economy is imploding, and clearly at this point that the government has not been prepared for this. They didn't think this would happen, okay? They thought, I think, they thought that would be an easy ride.
Yeah. No. Wasn't there a thought that this would be a three-day thing or something like that? I mean, the resistance has been quite amazing, really.
Martin, that's not official party information, so I cannot tell you. I don't know. Yeah. If you use logic and common sense, you could, you know, come up with ideas like that, you know, but that'd be your personal opinion. I have not heard of anything like that. No one has told us.
Yeah. Another thing, you mentioned earlier that what you're hearing is that no one but military will be intentionally attacked. And then 8 missiles go into a public airport when people are trying to flee, children killed, all kinds of atrocities. And I'm sure you're probably not going to hear much about that. Again, that's my opinion. That's not your opinion.
Martin, I am hearing about this. Don't make a mistake about it. I have heard about this, but this is what party has to say. Hang on.
Yeah.
Hang on.
Oh, something.
I'm just looking at the official party information, you know.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Ministry mm-hmm. of Defense, Russian Federation, has informed that the nationalists, Ukrainian nationalists, have sabotaged second attempt to evacuate civilians from the city of Mariupol. Okay, they're saying that neo-Nazis use civilians as shields, therefore they they sabotage, and that explosion at the airport was Ukrainian rocket, basically. Okay, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Why wouldn't I trust my Ministry of Defense, you know?
Right. So you're talking about the sanctions and that list of companies that have pulled out of Russia or stopped doing business in Russia is just amazing. I didn't realize it was that intense and that involved. That is going to really rock, without a doubt, the economy there for sure. And, you know, when that happens in a country as big as Russia, that's going to affect everyone a little bit somehow, because everything's going to have a reaction when it comes to all these things, stopping, say, production of something in Russia or something involved with Russia. So it's going to affect all of us. And it's all going to be blamed, in my opinion, on one person. I know on your stream you put out there something about the USSR. Do you want to? And by the way, your stream is linked below. I want everyone to check out Constantine's YouTube channel. And one of them, I know you put up immediately, got 14,000 hits in, you know, in hours. So a lot of people are watching your opinion. And can you talk a little bit about that, the USSR coming back?
I did a stream on that 2 days ago, and it definitely is what it is feeling like right now. Good old USSR is coming back. Basically, why this feeling, at least with me, is I clearly remember the general mood, official mood back then. We definitely had two camps. One camp was Soviet Union and its allies, and you know, the Eastern European countries, and we were good. And everyone else, almost everyone else, the West was bad. Okay, everything was black and white, and there were no companies, Western companies, except for Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, working here. We were under Iron Curtain, okay? We did not have any access to media from the West. We didn't know what was going on there. And we could not have our own opinion. Basically, we could not voice publicly anything. We would be prosecuted. There were criminal articles of, Russian criminal code. And this feeling, that was back then, and I start feeling a lot of things from the USSR coming back, okay? The world is divided into two parts here. It's black and white, okay? We're good. The West is bad. We were provoked. We were forced to start this military operation. I'm saying we were explained, the Russian citizens, that Russia was forced. No one really had talked to us. No one had a referendum. No one had mentioned anything about this huge threat from Ukraine, okay, of nationalism and militarization, stuff like that. Just no. Boom. The operation started like that, and we were given the information post factum, okay? And we're taxpayers, by the way. We're financing the Russian army, okay? Then the world became black and white. Us, we're good, we're just. Them, bad, black, evil. All of a sudden, we cannot voice our opinions publicly. If we do, we can spread disinformation and fakes, okay? And that's punishable by, many years in prison. The whole, what? You know, this mood in Russia is, it's like we're getting back to the old times. Okay, that's just depression. It's gloom, you know. It's not good. That's why I think that we definitely have this, you know, this things of old country coming back.
I feel for you. I feel for your country. I feel for the people of your country. And I can hear it in your voice. I can see it in your face, the distress this is causing you. And like I mentioned in the very beginning, with my four times that I spent in Russia, I find that the people are wonderful. They're the most hospitality. Yeah, I had the best hospitality that I can remember, you know, for people that I just met. And, you know, they're wonderful people. And I'm hoping one of the things that this broadcast on this channel may get across is that we love you guys. We love the Russians. We love the Ukrainians. And I don't blame this at all on the Russian people. And I believe that, you know, your soldiers are not wanting to do what they're doing, but they're more, you know, like soldiers of any war. And I know that's not a word that you can say. This is called a military operation, I believe you can call it. But I'm going to call it a war. And it's anytime, you know, soldiers go to war. A lot of times it's not something they want to do, but they feel like they have to, or, you know, there's treason. There's all kinds of, you know, can you imagine if a soldier said, no, I'm not going to do it. You know, what would happen to that soldier, right?
I agree. Soldiers, well, they cannot be blamed. Probably we all will be judged by God in the end of our lives. Okay. And old soldiers will be judged as well. Okay. That's what I think. So, but I, at this situation, I am not blaming the soldiers. They merely, you know, following the orders. If they don't follow the orders, they will be prosecuted immediately, thrown to jail. I don't know what happens to, it's called treason, I think. But yeah.
But, and you know,
Martin, I wanted to add this. If you were sitting right next to me in Russia, and if you were getting information from the real truthful sources like Russian Ministry of Defense, Russian government, then you would not be mistaken about this, calling this war. No, it's not. It's a special military operation. I guarantee if you were sitting right next to me, you would be calling it that way. You would have the truth, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I know the future is, you know, every day, every minute, you know, going by is kind of nerve-wracking for everyone over there. And, you know, if something doesn't change, I would consider this a blunder myself. And I don't, you know, I know you and I had a conversation and I mentioned to you something like there's 175,000 troops surrounding Ukraine and you don't think they're going to invade. And at the time you were told they were not. It was going to be a military exercise. And that's what everyone knew. And you were as shocked as everyone else when it actually happened.
More than everyone else, because I've been telling people for the past 3 months on my YouTube channel, listen, relax, take a chill pill. There will be no war. There will be no invasion. Come on. What's the purpose of Russia to invade Ukraine? There's none. Russia would hurt itself, would shoot itself in both knees if it invades Ukraine, you know. And I ridiculed people who actually were predicting that a military conflict is some close by, you know. And I sincerely apologize for those times. I feel foolish. I certainly did not expect it. I woke up and I thought it was fake news, you know, and only after Vladimir Putin made a net address to Russian nation, you know, then only then I believed that actually unthinkable happened. Just crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And when something like this happens, you know, you just mentioned shoot in both knees or whatever we say, shoot in the foot or something like that. You know, I mean, when this is perpetuated, you know, what are the steps back? You know, that's where it gets really tricky, because the sign of weakness may show itself. There's all kinds of, you know, things that I'm sure is in the mix here. And then you take the rest of the world. You know, I got to say, there's been a few people that have written things that to me about this show, about a certain person that's involved in this show that, you know, I can't repeat on this show. But a lot of people feel that way, that these people did. And you can read between the lines of what I'm saying. And so what do you feel that the West has done? Only sanctions. But is that all we can do? I mean, you may not be able to answer any of this. It's probably too tricky for you to answer. But the nuclear word was brought up. That's also a possibility of tactile nuclear, not the big nuclear bombs, but tactile nuclear weapons. The possibility, if the military there is frustrated enough, they could be used. And that, in my opinion, that's opening a can of worms. That's going to be a big problem. Again, I don't expect you to really be able to comment on much of what I'm saying here, but it's kind of a mess. And how would anyone picture this going in reverse and a withdrawal and all that? I mean, it's just
how can you reverse this? It's been done. Yeah. The damage to it's been done. People have been killed. Okay, even if Russian military, you know, information is true, even if it's only 498 Russian soldiers, they were killed. Can you bring them from dead? Can you bring them back? Can you bring back all those civilians who've been accidentally killed? Perhaps, you know, I'm pretty sure that Russian army, those boys, they are not Nazi. They're not fascists. Okay, they don't shoot Ukrainian, you know, men, women, children on purpose. Okay, they probably trying to avoid. They're trying to be very careful, but it's military operation. People shoot. There are two militaries. Okay, they shoot at each other. So how can you bring from dead all the Ukrainian soldiers? How can civilians? I mean, Russia has been labeled as the bad guy again, done for the second time in 40 years. And you know what? I'm not going to go there. Getting too emotional, and that's not good. But I think that we are all in a very tough shape. I think that it's really difficult to exit this situation, stop this situation, saving face for both Russia and the West, okay?
Yes.
I think that the fighting and shooting must stop, S-A-A-P, okay? And then cease fire, both Russians and Ukrainians, and then start negotiating what to do next. I don't care if Russian tanks are in Ukraine right now. I don't care if Ukrainian military shoot, like, you know, is defending. Just freaking unload your guns and chill. Okay, stop shooting. Just take a breath, both sides, and start negotiating. Bring in the peacemakers. I don't care, Switzerland, the United States, whoever. Bring in international community, but just do something. Okay, that's the first step that needs to be done. So people stop dying, and then. You know, everything is negotiation, and probably can negotiate. Ukraine can negotiate way out. Russia can do that same thing. But I don't really know, like, where to look at, because I'm not a military expert. I'm not a political expert. I'm just a regular guy, you know, who is trying to judge, observe this situation from his own eyes. And have them stop shooting first, okay? Stop launching rockets, stop bombing. And then I guess that's the only way is to negotiate. Nuclear weapon, I hope no one uses it, because that's going to be the beginning of the end. I hope they have enough sense in their heads to not even think of using it, okay?
Right, yeah. Well, there's this thing called cluster bombs. That's another military tactic that, you know, may be used. We don't know where this is going to go. And there was also talk about trying to make it very oppressed and difficult, and trying to make it as difficult as possible for the people of Ukraine right now, so they are, you know, they give up. And, you know, I mean, it's and to what, you know, to what degree is giving up? Does that mean that Russia just takes total control of the country? And I know that, you know, when you were on before, and I had heard this when I was in Russia myself, that a lot of people in Crimea wanted Russia to come in and wanted Russia to take over. Not everyone, but a lot. I would say a majority of the people. Not the case at this point. This is not the case at all.
Tell you what, Martin. That's not the case. I can only see the official information again, and I can only try to put two and two together in my mind. But if Ukrainians, regular people in Ukraine, wanted Russians to come in and do something in their country, then this fighting would be ended right now. It would be stopped, because it's been 2 weeks. I mean, how long do you need to go from side one side of Ukraine to another side of Ukraine, if everyone comes out and welcomes you. I drove through Ukraine many, many times. 7-8 hours, like 12 hours perhaps by most, that's it. Okay. The the fact that this operation is still taking place shows that not all Ukrainians actually welcoming Russians in Ukraine. Okay. And second question, listen, I only have 5 minutes left. Second question is, what's next? No, I don't understand. Martin, no one has told us what's going to be next. Right. They didn't tell us, okay, we want to occupy Ukraine. I don't know that. I haven't heard that. Oh, we want just to demilitarize, like take out weapons and leave. No, I don't know. The only two things that I've heard officially was to denazify, meaning get rid of the Nazis in Ukraine. There are Nazis, and I hate Nazis myself. Okay, but I was an Ukrainian. I've been to Ukraine many, many times. I didn't see that many around, you know what I mean? They're probably in other places somewhere, but the Russian military must know about these places, right? And what are they going to do next? Are they going to leave, like get rid of the Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, install a new president, have elections, new elections? Okay, let's suppose Russia installs new president, well, like, you know, holds elections and Ukrainians elect a new president, and then Russian troops leave and Ukraine is free again, free from anyone. That president will be announced illegitimate the second that the last Russian tank leaves Ukraine, you know. And what's next? Another military operation to help that president, stuff like that, you know. We don't understand in Russia. I don't understand. And I've yet to hear a clear plan. Okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to end this operation in 2 weeks. Then the step number two is this. Then the step number three, and this is the plan, the roadmap. No such luck, you know.
Yeah, I know that. I know that sigh. When you are out and about talking to your friends, is it just, you know, surreal? I mean, what are the feelings like between you and the people you're close to there?
You have no idea. It's seeing your entire world is crumbling right in front of you fast. Okay. First few days was shock, denial. Days after that, depression, feeling down, pain, even tears. And now, all those feelings numb a little bit, and it's just anger, big anger. Yes. I see a lot of people having anger inside.
I'm sure. And I know you have no idea about the future, and you know what's going to happen. But right now, I can tell you, you're in for some rocky times, just, you know, financially. And I know that you know, I've seen, you know, in your video, your beautiful home, your summer home, and you've done very well yourself, and you're going to be affected just as much, maybe even more than a lot of people there.
More, because my industry is collapsing. A lot of people are going to be out of jobs very soon. Basically, what I have in mind for the economic future of Russia, pretty much what we had in Soviet Union, we supported ourselves by taking potatoes, planting the seeds in the spring, growing potatoes, and then harvesting in August or September, and having sacks of potatoes, you know, keeping us fed throughout winter, year after year. We were ultimate preppers, and this is what we're going to go back to, prepping, okay? Just to support our lives, okay? Because what's coming to us is a tidal economic wave. That's not going to be pretty, okay? I understand that the entire world has united against Russia. It's just, we're a huge territory, like country by territory, but trust me, we have small economy. We're very weak. We are very corrupt. Vladimir Putin himself said many times that the biggest enemy of Russia is corruption. Jesus.
The kettle calling.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. I'm telling black. You. It's going to be it's going to be so bad.
And the oligarchs, you know, I'm not really going to get into the the corruption and why they are the way they are. But, you know, I mean, the things that I've heard and the people that I know and have talked to, the skimming the little off the top of everybody there makes someone a multi-billionaire. And that's what happens a lot of the time there. But
Martin, if I please, I will answer this question about oligarchs, the last. I got to run. Look, oligarchs are in trouble because they used to make money here and spend money elsewhere, in France, in UK, you know, in America, in Miami. But now they have their yachts, you know, stationed there and so forth, planes. Now the entire world is looking at oligarchs and all countries trying to confiscate their money. They are so much in trouble. It's unbelievable. They start feeling the heat. Some of them are publicly vocal about it. They don't like what's going on, okay? And I think that's just the beginning. So I don't really feel bad for them, but they are definitely feeling the heat, okay? They've been kicked out of the countries, taking their money away, and welcome back to Russia, you know? Now your kid's going to go to Russian schools, okay? Now you're going to get Russian medical help because you're not going to go anywhere else. Not welcome.
Right. Well, I want to thank you. You're a brave person, and I hope this doesn't get you in trouble in any type of way. And I want to thank you so much for it. And if anything does, get in touch with me, and we'll take care of this video. So thanks so much. And we're all with you. Like I said earlier, we all love you. We love the Russian people. We love the people I'm talking about, not a particular person. And we love the Ukrainians, and we hope that this is not going to last for long. And you take care, and we will be personally in touch. But thank you so much for what you do. And
thank you,
give your channel, your YouTube channel. I know you're live streaming every day. It's down in the show notes.
Thank you so much. I'm streaming. Yeah. I'm doing another interview in a few minutes, in 2 minutes, and then I'm streaming in 1 hour. So please come and check out my channel. It used to be entertainment, not anymore. It's just informing about what's happening in Russia on a daily basis. And thank you, Martin. Thanks for hosting me. Thanks, everyone, for joining. And, you know, we'll just pray for the better. We love Ukraine. We love Ukrainian people. We love the world. And we just hate to see what's happening. And please don't give up on us.
We won't. Take care. Whoops, I just cut him off. Sorry about that. Thank you, everyone, for watching. And again, I really appreciate it. And if there's anything we can do and you have a way to do it, please do to help the situation. Thank you and see you next time.